everybody. How are you? I'm going to call this little ditty Pope Francis. Do what you declare. Dignitas Infinita, Part 2. If I were an LGBTQ identified person, I'd probably be a little bit mad. How can Pope Francis bless me as one born that way? God made me that way, and the church loves me that way, as he said to Juan Carlos Cruz and several affirmations of transgendered people, even going out on a limb to bless my same-sex union or some other irregular coupling, then declare the likes of Dignitas Infinita. Like St. Paul in Romans 1, does this non-judgmental Pope really believe that I am making myself God in defying the natural order of male-female relating? Am I refusing my discovery of God-breathed dignity and identity by my rainbow citizenship? These are points 57 and 59 in the document. But that's what the Pope and his doctrine guy said. That's how Pope Francis understands human sexual dignity. Yet his history of recorded pastoral affirmations and actions reveals a big gap between his doctrine and his deeds. Francis appears to concede continuously to people under the sway of the world's gender theory, the very evil he contends with more than any other in Dignitas. Any reasonable LGBTQ identified person would read this declaration and wonder, really? Can I accept your acceptance of me if you say one thing, yet write another? And if I've got it all wrong, then how does this Jesus make it right? Perhaps Pope Francis might stammer here. I have never heard the Pope invite those oppressed by gender theory to repentance. I've never heard him advocate for chastity in his accompaniment of sexually fractured people. His dislike of what drives rainbow culture doesn't appear to translate to his fight for those under its power. I pray for Pope Francis to integrate Dignitas Infinita into his pastoral care. And I quote, "Strive to live up to the full measure of your dignity," number 22. He appeals to the moral, volitional components of living our dignity. And I quote, "Sin and wounds obscure that dignity, and our faith plays a decisive role in accepting, consolidating, and clarifying our dignity's essential features." Number 22. Relate that to his clarity on living the Imago Dei. Become who you are as a man made for woman, woman made for man. Anything less leeches the light out of the Creator's will for our sexual clarity and creativity. Heed his words, if not his pastoring. Forgo the theory that imprisons you. Participate in your own dignity. I wonder sometimes if Pope Francis is unaware of Jesus' power to help people come out of the shadowy selves spawned by gender theory. Dignitas alludes to redemption, but doesn't flesh it out. Heralding original dignity, or God's design, means little without busting the chains that bind up dignity, e.g. original sin. Well, a 20-page document can't do everything, but he does bookend the entire document with human dignity rooted in Christ-centered redemption, beginning with his first point, The Church resolutely reiterates and confirms the ontological dignity of the human person, created in the image and likeness of God and redeemed in Christ. Point number one. While we are each made in God's image, we still can refuse his redemption. He concludes the document by declaring we are all immensely holy. Number 65. Huh? People are under the sway of foreign powers, including under the power of gender theory, and can participate in or refuse that redemption. Encourage us, Pope Francis, to walk this out with our friends and family members. That's the fathering we need. What we don't really need is Francis' own nod to gender theory. He was the first pope to codify sexual orientation, particularly homosexual orientation, in Amoris Laetitia, in number 250 of that document. And he employs this term related to homosexual orientation in Dignitas, number 55. His use of orientation to describe other sexual trajectories is rooted in gender theory. It's also detached from the only orientation proper to human dignity, described by St. John Paul II as the deep orientation to personally dignify what is intrinsic to his masculinity and to her femininity, theology of the body, 131. Anything less becomes a bulwark against the truth of our origins and the direction of our redemption. In this way, we can say that Francis is unwittingly contributing to the very theory he is decrying. This is the Jesuitical doublespeak that I alluded to at the end of part one last week. Dignitas gives us a sound doctrinal overview of the indignities deforming humanity, especially our sexual selves, but it leaves us vulnerable to the confusing pastoral application of Pope Francis and friends. In rolling out Dignitas, its underwriter, Cardinal Fernandez, said this to all who disagree: "Forget about it. Don't worry. Be happy." Invoking the principle of welcoming, he hopes to put at ease those in conflict with the truth. And I quote, all must be welcomed, even those who don't agree with the church and who make different choices, including those who think differently on the themes of sexuality. What do we make of this? Declare the truth, but don't really believe it applies to people? Don't hold people to it? That actually fails to satisfy anyone, including myself. Either the truth of Jesus' love to take broken lives back to the garden is real, or it isn't. One may refuse this Jesus, but that doesn't change the good news. Our good news. What bothers me most about Francis and friends' doublespeak is the seeming lack of confidence in Jesus to set captives free. In this case, from the deformation of gender theory. I urge Francis and friends, align your doctrine with your pastoral deeds. Merciful Jesus never fails to deliver. That requires truth and love with those we accompany. Our credibility and the saving of many lives is at stake. Thanks for listening.